We begin the Kandav and Zach, this is Evan Dav Chof Aleph. We begin 5 lines up from the top of the Yom, where the Gemara continues and quotes from the statement of the previous Dav regarding the fundamental principle of why this Takana of Pasib Rosh was instituted in the first place. What was it allowed for? This leniency allowing, although it's not a regular full-fledged Mechitza, however, these L-shaped brackets, these Pasim, these Yumdin, these double side posts, that basically it's an Amma on each side, but it has more area that's parts than Ayman, that it's permitted for. What was that permitted for? So the Gemara quotes from that Brisa again. Gufa we learn. Lehutru Pasib Rosh, that this whole heter of Pasib Rosh, which is the discussion of our Perek, that regarding these wells that are in the Rishus HaRabim, that the well itself has the status of Rishus HaYachid, and therefore the only way to carry from it outside is to create these Pasib Rosh. It was only made El Behem Lovad, only for animals. Aval Adam Mitapis V'Oilu Mitapis V'Yari, but regarding man, again, although it was made for the pilgrims, those who were being oily regal and they didn't have any water for their animals or for themselves either. However, only it was permitted for them to draw out the water for their animals, but for themselves not. Because regarding man, metabas well, metabas viyot, he could climb in and climb out, let him drink inside the well, and not have to bring out and be and do this type of lenient type of a kula of taking out into this pasib rois, which is only a sub category of a mechitz, and therefore for him we didn't allow that. Then, however, if the pit was very wide and he can't climb in and out, it's not feasible for him to do that. Now, fill all the nami, then even for man, it's also permitted for him to go ahead and fill up the water and bring it out and drink it outside in this area of the Pasib Rosh. The Brisa continued, a person should not fill up water from the pit and give it to drink to his animal. That is, he himself is not going to hold a cup to the mouth of the animal as it's drinking, because maybe the animal is going to pull back a little bit out of the area of the Pasib Rosh, which is Rishus HaRabim, and he's going to follow after, and he's going to be carrying from Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. So what should he do? Of a mamali who, rather, he fills up the water, and he pours it in front of the animal, and it drinks by its own, but you can't hold the cup to its lips, because then you might follow it into Rishus HaRabim. And that Gemara says, Maskul Rav Onan, Ibkin, if that's the case, that you're not allowed to hold the vessel, the cup that the animal is drinking from inside this area, the Pasib Rosh, that it has led to the tail end of the animal is in the Rishus HaRabim, because we're afraid that you might come to carry after it. So mahaili pasib rois. So what did we gain by these pasib rois if you can't even hold the cup? So the Gemara asked, mahailu? What does it mean? What did we help? I mean, very easy. Lamalis meant to be actually to fill it up from them. Without these pasib rois, you wouldn't be able to fill the water to draw it from the pit and bring it out into the area of this pasib rois. Now you can go ahead and fill it up and put it down, because now we made it the equivalent of Rishus HaYachid. You just can't go ahead and hold it and have the animal drink from your hands. But what we gained by making the Pasib Rosh is that you could actually fill up the water, take it out, and put it down. And now the animal could drink by itself. So what are you asking? What did we gain? So the Gemara says, no. What we meant to say was, what did we gain with the Chazal's requirement of regarding the minimum measurement of the Pasib Rosh, that they have to be a distance, the walls, these diyumdin, these double posts, have to be a minimum of that the animal could get its head and the majority of its body inside the area of the Pasib Rosh. Why? Why should we have to need that? What's the point? The whole point why you would say that it has to have that much of its body inside is because of that, when you're giving it to drink with a cup, that you don't want it to have, it might make one move and you're outside. So we want the majority of its body inside. That why, even if you're giving it to drink, we're not concerned you might come to go that far outside, because most of it's inside. But if you're telling me now that you can't hold the cup and have it to drink, so now what's the purpose of making Rishus HaRabim? Let it be wherever it wants to be. I'm not giving it to drink. There's no chashash of me following it into Rishus HaRabim. And that the Gemara says, I'm Abaya, Hocha, my skin, and what we're talking about over here is a totally different case. This that we said you can't give the animal to drink straight with a cup doesn't mean in the classic case of a regular animal coming to the Pasib Rosh and drinking, that possibly you're allowed to give the animal to drink with a cup as long as it has Reish of a Rubai. Here that we said that you can't give it straight to drink is talking about a unique case, which is what we discussed at length in the previous daf, as Be'evus Ho'imid B'Shus Rav, we're talking about a trough that's where the animals eat from, that's in Rishus HaRabim, that's right next door to the barn, to the Rishus HaYachid that the animal's in. Gavoya Asar V'Reichav Arba, that's 10 Tefachim high and 4 Amos wide, which basically means that it's a Rishus HaYachid. V'Reish HaNichnas L'Bein HaPasim V'Chula, and one end of that trough goes into the area of the Bein HaPasim, which, as we explained in the previous step, that in a sense, really, the person is allowed to go ahead and pick up the pitcher of water and walk in Rishus HaRabim and his hand over the trough, which is Rishus HaYachid, because a person's allowed to walk in Rishus HaRabim with moving something in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore pour right in front of him, give the animal straight to eat because he's going directly over Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, as we said, there's a gezeirah because people might make a mistake and they might find something wrong with the trough and put it down on the floor, and then after he remembers that he wanted to go put it back, he's going to pick it up from the floor and take it from Rosh Hashanah Rabbah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Therefore, there was a gezeirah. That was the case, but it wasn't talking about anything regarding giving the animal straight with a regular cup. That possibly, that's permitted if it has at least Reish Ruben. That was what we gained by saying that the animal has to have at least Reish Ruben within the ear of the Pasuk B'Rayis, because when you're giving it to drink with the cup, possibly you have to hold on to the animal also, but you could hold on to the cup, and that's why we said it has to have Reish Ruben, that you don't come to follow it into Reish Hasarab. Now the Gemara continues with another general rule regarding this heter of the Pasuk B'Rayis. Amram Imri Bar Abba Amar Rav, Ein Borgen Mebavel. First of all, he says that there is no halacha of huts in Bavel, and that is, as it says in Perikitz Ma'abrin later on in this Masechet Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, says that there are huts outside of a city within 70 amos and a fraction from the city. Then it's included in the squaring off of the area of the city, which has its own halacha of dalet amos. You can walk the entire city, and the tchum only starts from that point on. Now, what are brugen and what are these huts? These are these types of sukkahs, these huts that those who watch the city sit in these huts. And they're not stationary types of houses, they're just huts. That Rabbi Yirmiyah says that these huts, you don't have them in Bavel. What that means is that they're not included in the Ibur Ha'ir and to be included in, to calculate it as part of the city to say that Tchum only starts past them. As I will explain in a moment why that is. And the second halacha, which is why we brought this in, was that this heter of the boards of the wells, of the pits, that halacha was not said in Chutz Laretz. In other words, in regarding to other lands besides Bavel, as the Gemara explains. Why do we say that you don't have the halacha of huts in Bavel to say that we extend the city if it's within 70 and a fraction of Amos within the city? So we view that as part of the city and continues up until the last one is. Then we square it off to say that this is the area of the city that the Tchum starts past that. Why don't you say that? Why is Bavel different? The Shechichi Bitki, because it's common to have these flash floods in Bavel, and therefore it just floods the whole area, and therefore these huts are not considered chashev because we don't view them as real houses because they could just be washed away in a second. It has to have a real dira, a real residential dwelling, and that you don't have because it could just be washed away in a second. And that's because it's not a full-fledged house. It's not stationary, and therefore it can be washed away. That's why we can't consider that as part of the city to say that Tchum starts past that. Regarding the other halacha of Pasi Berois Bechutzlar, it's like, why do we say that we don't have the heter of the boards of the wells out of Eretz Yisrael, besides Bavel? The Lo Yishchichim Esifta, because we don't find that there were major yeshivas in any area besides Eretz Yisrael and Bavel to say that there are Tamidim, that there are students going from city to city to learn Torah. And this whole heter of Pasi Berois was only mentioned either for the Eilur Golem, the pilgrims going up to Eretz Yisrael, and things like that, in other words, for people going for Dvar Mitzvah. So Eretz Yisrael has the Eilur Golem, and Bavel has the people going from yeshiva to yeshiva, but everywhere else in Chutz Laretz, we didn't have this major people, so many people going for Dvar Mitzvah. We didn't institute this kula of Pasuk B'Rayis. However, but the Gemara concludes that the opposite we do, in other words, that we do have Pasin in Bavel, it's only Chutz Laretz not, but in Bavel, yes. And regarding Burgenin is the exact opposite, that Burgenin, the huts you have everywhere else, even in Chutz Laretz, but Bavel not, as we said, because Bavel, that they have the flash floods. Igadarmi, those that say a different version. Amr of Yirmi by Abba Amar Rab, Ein Burgenin upasi b'rois. You don't have not the Burgenin, the huts for Tchumen, and you don't have the boards of the pits regarding this, to create this sub-category, a level of a mechitza for the wells. Not in Bavel and not for Chutz Laretz. Neither works by either one of them, as the Gemara explained. Burgenim Bavel, we don't have the halach of huts by Bavel, as we said before, the Shechichi Bitki, because there's these flash floods and they're just flimsy huts. They can be washed away. We don't view it as a chash of a part of the city as if it's extending the residential area of the city. But Chutz Laretz Nami Loi, and Chutz Laretz, you also don't have this halach of the huts extending the city, because the Shechichi Ganavi, because it's common to find thieves over there that they steal the huts, and therefore we cannot consider it a chash of a residential area, because it can be, before you know it, it's not there anymore. It's not like a regular house that we could make a kvias out of it to set the boundaries of the city based on these huts. Pasi B'Rois B'Bavaloi, regarding the halacha of the boards of the wells that we don't say that by Bavel, the Shechichi Maya, because in Bavel it's commonly found water. This whole Heta of Pasa B'Rois was only for a place where they need rainwater that gathers to, in the pits and to drink from it, where that there's a necessity and there's a dearth of water to be drunk. And here we're in Bavel, we have so much water, we did not allow this Heta of Pasa B'Rois. And Mechutzlaetz Namiloi, as we said before, the Leshchichi Mesifta, regarding the Heta of Pasa B'Rois, we didn't say in Chutzlaetz because there you don't have Oiler Golem, you don't have the Yeshivas, the Mesiftas of Bavel, and therefore we never instituted the Heta of Pasa B'Rois. Something more brings a story related to this topic. Amar Rav Chizda L'Amari B'Rei, the Rav Huna B'Rei, the Rav Yirmiyahu B'Abba. Amri, they say about you that Asisu mi Barnash lebe Kanishta de Daniel, that you go from Barnash to the Shul of Daniel, and that is, he says, I heard about you that you go from Barnash to the Shul of Daniel on Shabbos. And that is, there was a place in Bavel where there, that's the place where Daniel had daven, as the Pasuk in Daniel says, V'chavim Pesichin Le'Baliyasi, it talks about how he used to daven. So you, I hear that on you Shabbos you go from Barnash to the Shul of Daniel, they have a Tlosa Parsi, which is three Parsi away. Now a Parsa, each, there's three Parsi. Each Parsa is 4 mil. Each mil is 2,000 Amos. And this is how far you go B'Shabbatah. Now the Tchum is only 2,000 Amos out of the city. So not only did he go more than 2,000 Amos, which is each mil, he went each mil, here we have 4 mil in each Parsi, and then here he had three Parsi, so that's 12 times over that amount. How is it possible that you went so far, which is out of the Tchum of Shabbos? Amai Samchisa, what did you rely on to go out of the Tchum? Aburgen, obviously we're relying on the huts, that there are huts within 70 Amos of every of this city. It keeps on going, 70 Amos, all the way down to the three Parsi, down to the Shul of Daniel. But your father's father said in the name of Rab that ain't Borgen in Bavel. We do not have the heter of huts in Bavel, as we said before, because they have the flash floods. So how could you rely on these huts on the way, all the way for the three Parsi? You're going out of the Tchum, which is Asr and Shabbos. So Nafik va'ach v'lei hanu mesavasa. So he went out and he showed him these cities that were these desolate, destroyed cities, that the walls of the houses were still there. And that is what we say in Perkitz Ma'abrin, later on in this Masechta on Nunheim and Beis, that a nefesh, what's it called, that it wasn't breached, which is a reference to a matzeva of a kever, that gets included with the city, even though it's not a real bias. Here also that these broken up cities that still had walls, it's still considered chashim, not any less than a grave. The mivlon b'shivam v'shiram, that they were, each one was included within the area space of the previous one of 70 amos and a fraction, which is 2/3 of an amma. That is, it has to have 70 and 2/3 of amma, which is the shear of what's called beis asayim, which is the same amount as the chatzar of the Mishkan, as the Gemara later on says in Dapnon Zayinim Adav, that we give a karpa for the city, and that is, if it has, that's 70 amas and the fraction near the city, that's included as part of the city. So he showed him that the three parsi, within 70 amas and a fraction, again, which is 70 amas and 2/3 of an amma, you could see, and you'll be able to walk three parsi, which is way more than the Tchum, but within every this shear, you're going to find another part of these broken up cities that there's a wall that's still there. Therefore, we consider that as part of the city, and that's why he's allowed to walk that far in Shabbos. So another statement from Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Chizda, Darish Mori Barmar, that Mori Barmar had lectured, and he says, Maglisiv, what does it mean, the Pasuk in Tehillim? L'chol tichla re'isikets, for every goal I saw an end, and that is, the end of everything, there was an end, and another, I was able to see the end of it. However, but your commandments are so wide, and that is that there is no end for the goal of it. In other words, I don't see an end to the Torah and the mitzvahs. So he says, David the Amr David v'lei Pirsha. David HaMelech spoke about this, and he didn't explain what is the end of the shear of the Torah. Amr Eve v'lei Pirsha. Eve spoke about it, and he also didn't explain how far it goes. Amr Yecheska v'lei Pirsha. Yecheska spoke about it, and again, he also didn't say how far the Torah and the mitzvahs go. Atshabar Zechariah ben Ido Pirsha, until Zechariah came, and he explained it. And as the Gemara explains, Amr David v'lei Pirsha. David spoke about it, and he didn't explain, as we brought just before the Pasuk, the Siv. L'chol tichla re'isi kates, for every goal I saw an end, but rechav mitzvah eschem ma'od, but your mitzvahs are so wide, I don't see the end. I don't see the end of the goal for the mitzvahs. Amr Iyev v'lei Pirsha. Iyev spoke about it, and he also didn't explain. The Siv says the Pasuk in Iyev, Arucha me'eretz midah, that longer than the land is its measurement, urechavim in the yam, and it's wider than the sea. Again, not saying how far it actually goes, he's just saying it's much larger than anything that we know. Amr Yecheskel b'lei Pirsha. Yecheskel spoke about it, and they also didn't explain. Except like it says the pasuk in Yecheskel, the Yifreis Oysol Lefana, that he spread it out in front of me, that this was, that there was a Megillah of the Torah Shabbat that was shown to him, the Kesuv upon the Vacha, that it was written in the front and the back, because of Eleho Akinim, and it was written on it, Lamentations, Vehega, and Rejoicing, Vahi, and Woe. As the Gemara explains, what are these three terminologies? Kedem, lamentation, zuperanasan, shal tzadikim boilem azeh. That is the punishment of the righteous in this world. V'cheinu oimen, so too it says that it's saying that this kedem is a reference to punishment. That it says, a pasuk in Yecheskel, kinehi, that's a lamentation, v'cheinu, and you should lament. That you see that it's a reference to bad things. V'hegem, rejoicing, zumatan scharin shal tzadikim lasalavi. This that says in the pasuk that he saw hege, that's a reference to the great reward of the righteous in the world to come. So too it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, Alehi Goyin, that upon me singing bekinar with the harp, that is a term of hege, which is obviously talking about with the regarding rejoicing. Vahi an wo, zohui perunasan shal risham lasad labi. This is the punishment of the wicked in the world to come. So too says the pasuk in Yecheskel, Hoival hoive tovai, that happening upon happening will come. That is, we see that Vahi, that the woe is in reference to Tavi that will come. That's the punishment of the wicked in the world to come. So no one had explained how far and how deep does the Torah actually go. He explained, he was able to say the distance of the Torah. The Ksivah says a pasuk in Zechariah. The Yomer Alai Ma'atarei, and he said to me, what do you see? He says, I said I told him that I see a folded Megillah, a folded scroll. Arka Esrim Ba'ama. Its length is 20 Amas, and this was with the Amma, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rechava Esrim Ba'ama, and the width was 10 Amas. That is, with it being folded, that's what Afa means, that it was 20 Amas. And therefore, V'chipashat Adla, when you spread it out for the fold that it was doubled over, Havila Esrim Ba'esrim, then it's 20 Amas by 20 Amas. V'chsiv, and it says that Hiksuv upon the Ba'acha, that was written in the front and the back. So therefore, v'chikalfadla, when you peel it, in other words, when you peel the back side of it and you make it towards the front, and you could be able to read the back and the front together at one time. So kamehavila, how much does that come out? Ooh, that comes entire bind, that the length is 40 be'estrin by 20. So you have 40 by 20. Of 7, it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, mimodad b'sha'oloi mayim. Who could measure with his fist the sea, v'shemayim b'zeres tikin v'gaymer, and the heavens with a span of a zeres, which is a half a amah, that's how much he prepared it. So therefore, nimtza, so it comes out, the cheshbon is how much, how far is it? Kala oilam kulu, the entire world, is echad mishleishas alafim u'mesayim atayr, is one part of 3,200 in the tire. And that is, as Rashi goes through the cheshbon, he says that the whole measurement of the world, as the pasuk says, was a half a amah, which is a zeres, that's shemayim b'zeres tikin. It's a half a amah by a half amma. Now Rashi calculates his mathematical equation as follows. He says, so if you have this half amma by half amma in the Megillah, so how much, which the Megillah is a reference to the Torah, how large is the world in reference to the Torah? So it comes out that it's going to be one of 3,200. As Rashi says, that if you take the 20 ammas of the width of that scroll, and you make out of it strips of an half a amma wide, so it comes out to 40 strips, because again, there are 20 amas, you split it into half amas strips, it's going to come out to 40 strips, and each one has a length of 40 amas. That comes out to 1,600 amas in the length, which obviously we're talking about a zeres, a half amma, which is what the measurement that we're talking about the world is. That comes out to 3,200 zeresos, which again is saying that the world, which is a half amma by a half a amma squared, is going to be one out of 3,200 of the Torah. So therefore, he was able to somehow show, at least kiviyachol, how large the Torah was, that it was 3,200 times larger than the world itself is. Now the Gemara continues with another statement by Rav Chisda in the name of Mori Barmar. Vam Rav Chisda Dorish Mor Barmar. The Mor Barmar had lecture, and he says, Magda said, what does it mean the pasuk in Yirmiyah? V'hinei shnei dudoi te'enim, that behold, there were two pots of figs, Mu'adim lefnei heichal Hashem, they were prepared before the sanctuary of Hashem. Hadud echot te'enim tovis mo'id, one of the pots was very good figs. Kise'eni, like the figs, we continue on to Amud Bey's habakurois, that were the ripe ones, these are the chashaba figs that were quickly to ripen. Hadud echot te'enim rois mo'id, and one of the pots were very, very bad figs. Asher lo'i te'echal namer, that they couldn't be eaten because they're so bad. So he explains the pasuk. Te'en ma'tovis, this talks about the good figs. Elu tzadikim gemurim, these are the completely righteous people. Te'en ma'rois, what are the bad figs? Elu risham gemurim, these are the totally wicked people. Now, v'shem ha'tayim ha'ovet sivram ha'botel sikurim. Maybe you're going to say that all hope and consultation for them is totally lost, that they're bad and they're spoiled and they're ruined. There's no hope for the risham. Tamalem, that's what the pasuk in Shir Hashim says, with the same reference of dud, hadudoim nosnerech, that the pots, in the plural, that they give forth fragrance, that is, elu ve'elu asid and shid nerech, both of them will ultimately end up giving fragrance. Even the risham, there is hope for them at the end. Now the Gemara brings a different shot in that passage that we just quoted, that Darish Rava, Rava lectured, Ma'adich siv hadudoim nosnerech. What does it mean, the passage that it says that the dudoim, which in the literal translation is really that the violets give forth good fragrance? It was only then in the previous translation that we're using the word dudaim for the dud that we spoke about, those were the pots of the figs. So what does this mean that the violets give forth good fragrance? There's a reference to the young boys of the Jewish people that have not tasted the taste of sin yet. And the pasuk over there continues and says, "Val pasachenu komegodim," that by our entrances there were many fine fruits. What is that a reference to? So elu b'nei saw, this is a reference to the Jewish girls. Shemagidois pischein lebalein, that they tell about their opening to their husbands. And that is, they say about their opening, that is when they see blood, they tell their husband, therefore he could separate from her. That's what it means, megadim, that is talking about magidois, that they tell about pischein, about their openings, in reference to the private parts, that there's blood there, and therefore they'll stay away because they're nidois. Lashon Hara, another interpretation on that last part of the pasuk. That they close their openings for their husbands, and that is, they close it for the purpose only of their husbands, that they don't go ahead and they're not intimate with others. That's what it means, that by their Pesach was Megadim, that means that it was Oigid, that it was closed. The Pasuk over there continues and says, Chadashim, that the new ones, which the Gemara will explain as a reference to Divrei Seifrim, which are the rabbinic halachas, Gam Yishalim, and also the old ones, reference to the words of Torah given by Sinai, Daidi, my beloved, Sefantilach, I have hidden for you, and that is, I've kept them all just for you, for your name, Lishma. As the Gemara explains, Amr Kanes Solof Nekadesh Baruch Hu, Kala Yisrael tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbein Yishlam, Master of the World, Harbor Gezeris Gezarti Elatzmi, I have made many decrees on myself, again, reference to Divrei Seifrim, which Klai Yisrael themselves made on themselves, Yisim Mashiach Gezarti Elai, more than you have decreed upon me. The Rabbanans are so manifest, and they're so more inclusive than the Dereises, V'kiyamtim, I have kept them, and that's to show the faith that I have to want to keep what your Ratzin really is. So on this topic, the Gemara brings, Amalei Rav Chisla, Humei Rabbanan, that this one of the Rabbanan used to prepare that Gadduk teachings in front of him. He says, Mishmi Allah Chadashim Gamisham Mahu. Did you hear what's the understanding of this pasuk, that the new ones and also the old ones, that this is what we have kept for you? So Amalei said to him, Elu mitzvahs kalas ve'elu mitzvahs chamuras. That's reference to the easy mitzvahs, and not only that, but even the hard mitzvahs. So Amalei, so he responded to him, he says, what do you mean? V'chi tari pam nitna? Was the tari given at different times to say that one was old, one was new? That can't be. Even if it would be, it makes sense to say that not only the easy ones, but even the harder ones, but there was no new and old. They were all given at the same time. Ela halolam debir tari, abba halolam debir seven. Rather, it's as we said before in the Gemara, that it's a reference to the words of Torah, those are the Yishanim. But not only that, even the Chadashim, even the new ones, even the Divrei Seifrim, even that we keep. So now the Gemara continues expounding upon the Chashivas and the importance of Divrei Seifrim, of the rabbinic decrees. Darash Rabbi Rava lectured, Ma'idich Siv, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Keheles? The Yoyisim Ehemem, more than these, in other words, more than the words of Torah, B'ni, my son, Hizar, you should be careful. I say Svarim Harbor V'Gaim, you should make many books. So the interpretation is, B'ni, my son, Hizar B'divrei Seifrim Yoyisim Divrei Torah. Be more careful of the words of the sages than the words of the Torah. Why is that? Shadivrei Torah Yeshbim Asei V'Lois Asei. Because the words of Torah, there are positive commandments, there's negative commandments, and there are those that you're not going to be Chayv Misa if you transgress them. However, Divrei Seifrim, regarding the rabbinic decrees, Kala Ivra Divrei Seifrim Chayv Misa. Whoever transgresses one of the rabbinic decrees, he's liable for death. As it says in the for all of them. As the pasuk says in Kehelis and Parakud, Upayritz Gedda Yishachan Nachash, that whoever breaches the fence that the snake will bite him, that's a reference to the fence of the words of Chazal, that they go ahead and they want a fence in, that we should never come to breach the mountain of the words of Torah. And therefore, if you breach that fence, that's worse in the sense than the actual words of the Torah. So therefore the Gemara asks, so and that's what the pasuk comes to allude. So Shema Taimer, im yesh ben mamish, that if you're going to say that if they're so great the words of the Seifrim, then ma'aloi nechtavu, why weren't they written as the words of Torah? If they're so much more important than the words of Torah, so why were those things not instituted and we made it ourselves? So I'm across, so the pasuk says, because asay svarim harba inkates, because to make books so much, there's no end to it. There would never be an end to all the words of the Torah Shabbat Peh that was given over in the framework of Dibri Seifrim. And therefore, that's why it wasn't written. But in a sense, it's more chashav, more important, and more dangerous if one transgresses Dibri Seifrim than the words of the Torah. So the end of that pasuk says, V'lahag harbe, and much study, Yigias Basar, is the toil of the flesh. So the interpretation is, Omra Papa Rid Ravacha Bar Adab, Mishmeid Ravacha Bar Ulam. Malama, what this comes to teach is, as because the beginning of the pasuk is talking about the words of keeping Dibri Seifrim, Shekola Malik al Dibri Chacham, that whoever scorns the words of the sages, that is the word lag is related to the word lahag, Nidoim Bitsayir Esachis, he gets judged with burning excrement. And that is because that's the yigia, the basa, the toil of the flesh. It produces this excrement. So a person that scorns the words of the Chazal, he gets, his judgment is with burning excrement. Which Gemara asks, Maskula Rava, Miksiv Lag, does it say scorn? Lahag, sir, it says study. So he gives a different interpretation of that pasuk. He says, El Kola Hoygeben, that whoever toils in them, and that is he's constantly reviewing the words of Torah every moment. Toim Tambasal, always taste the taste of flesh. That's what it means in the pasuk, that Lag, Harbe, Yigiyas Pasuk, that much study will give forth taste of meat. He'll always have a geshmak tam in his mouth. From the words of Torah, it always gives some type of a geshmak, even if he has learned it many times over. So Gemara continues again, talking about the importance of Dibri Seifrim, of those things which were instituted by Chazal, not even the words of Torah. Turn up and we're in the Braisa. Ma'isa Rebbe Kiva Shoy Chovesh Beveis Hashem. There was a time that Rebbe Kiva was locked up in jail. V'hoi Rebbe Shua HaGarsi Mishrosay, and Rebbe Shua HaGarsi, which Rashi says either that means that's from the place where he came, or it was that he used to grind grisim, which are grits. So either way, this Rebbe Shua HaGarsi was Rebbe Kiva's attendant. Every single day he would bring Rebbe Kiva into jail a certain measurement of water. One time, the guard from the jail found Rebbe Shua HaGarsi coming with this bucket of water. Amaloi Hayoi Mechem Rubin says, wait a second, today your water looks like a lot of water. Maybe you needed to be able to dig out. You're going to give him the water so he can make the earth loose, so he can dig out of jail. So he spilled that half the water, and they gave him the other half of the water. So when they came to Rebbe Kiva saw that he has very little water, he said to him, Yeshua, don't you know that I'm very old? That my life depends on your life? And that is, I don't have anything more than what you give me and prepare for me. And what is this, how much little water you're giving to me? So Rebbe Shua HaGarsi told him about the whole story that happened, that the guard spilled out half the water. So Amaloi, so he said, Rebbe Kiva said to him, okay, tenli mayim shet liyadi, give me the water that I can wash my hands. So Amaloi, Rebbe Shua HaGarsi said to him, lishni se magim, there's not enough water to drink. Litli yadech magin, you think there's enough water to wash your hands with them? There's not enough of this sheer. So Amaloi master, Rebbe Kiva told him, what should I do? Shechayav malei misa, these are the words of Chazal. Divri Seifrim, that Netil Sidam was not a deraisa, it's derabanan, and therefore it's something that Yechayv Misa, as we mentioned before in the Gemara. Mutav Ames Misa Satsmi, let it be better that I die by myself, v'loi ever al das chaver, and that I don't transgress the words of my friends, and die because I was Ivan and derabanan. So Amadei said that loi toam klom, that Bekiva did not taste anything, until they brought him water, and they was able to wash Netil Sidam, and only then did he go ahead and taste something. So the Gemara says, "Kesheshama Chacham Bedaver." When the Chacham, that the sages of that time heard about it, Amr they said, "Ma bezeknusikach." If when he was old, this is how he was would custom himself. Bialdusi. So when he was young and he had the strength and the effort to be able to go to old lengths, Allah has come and become. Imagine how much he would go to be able to wash until Sidam that he would not transgress on this halacha. And if in jail he would do this, not in jail where he was able to do things to be able to get it, definitely could you imagine to the length that he would go not to transgress in this isser of not washing until Sidaim. So the Gemara goes to the source of this halacha, as we mentioned, and until Sidaim was Medivri Seifrim, where is the source of this halacha? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul. B'shosha tikin shloima ervin min Netil Sidaim. At the time when Shloima Melech was Mesakin Erevin, which is a reference to Eruv HaChatzeris, that he made a decree not to take off from one Rosh HaYachad to another Rosh HaYachad that's next to it, because he wanted to make a fence and a harchaka for the Isser of Torah, that a person should not come to permit taking from Rosh HaRav to Rosh HaYachad. And that's what the Gemara will bring later from the Pasuk, that Ve'izin V'chikar, it says about Shlema, that he listened and he looked into it, Tikin Mishalm, he was Masakin parables. What does it mean, Ve'izin? That he made Aznayim L'Torah, he made ears, he made handles for the words of Torah, like the handles that are for a vessel that you should be able to carry it with, that he was Masakin Erevin, and the Tilsu Dayim, that is to make a siyag, a fence for Taharas, that people should always wash their hands to make a certain level of purity. And that's at the time when he made these two takanas of Eruv HaChatzeris and Tilsu Dayim, Yatz is a baskal v'amr. So a baskal, a heavenly voice came out and said, which is a pasuk in Mishlei, B'ni, my son, im chacham libecha, if your heart is wise, yismach libigam oni, my heart will rejoice also. V'ayman, it said a pasuk in Mishlei, chacham b'ni, my wise son, v'samach libi, my heart rejoices, v'ashiva charfidafen, I'll be able to respond to those who tell me sharp things. That is, the Shechina was happy, so to speak, with the fact of the Gedarim and Siyagim that Shlomo HaMelech made with the Eruv HaChatzeris and the Tehillas Yedaim. So another idea from Rava, Darish Rava, the Rava lectured. Ma'adlech said, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim? L'cha doidi, come my beloved. Neitzei HaSada, let us go out to the field. Nalina Mekfarim, let us go to sleep in the villages. Nashkim Lekram, let us get up in the vineyards. Nirim Parcha Gefen, let us see if the grapevine has sprouted. Pitach Hasmadi, if the great blossom has opened. Hey Neitzu Haramayim, if the pomegranates has bloomed. Sham Etenes Doidelach, there I will give my love to you. So what is this Pasuk in Shir HaShirim a reference to? Although that's a Mashal, what is the Nimshal? So the Gemara says, L'cha Doidi Neitzu HaSad, the Rava said that, come my beloved, let's go out to the field. Amar Knesses Yisrael of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Kala Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbein Hashalom, Master of the World. Atidineini Ki Yeshu Krachim. Do not judge me like those who dwell in the cities. And that is, that's the place where the marketplaces and there's many people, and that's where all the peddlers are and all the merchants, and therefore there's much theft and immorality over there in the cities. Don't judge me like those people who are in the cities. Shesh ben gezel, that there's theft and varais and immorality, b'shvur shav, and oaths in vain, b'shvur sheker, and false oaths. Nate, that he was telling him that, come, let us go out to the fields. I don't want to be like those who live in the cities. Neitzei HaSada, what does it mean, let's go out to the field? That was a reference to the people that the farmers and those who work the land and they toil and toil through difficulty, through challenges. Like he said, Boyver Echa, Tamid HaChacham, let me go ahead and show you the Talmudic sages, Sha'iskim B'Tarmit HaChachak, that they toil and toil through the difficulties and the challenges that they struggle with. Nalina B'Kfarim, let us lay down in the villages. Al Tikri B'Kfarim, don't read it in the villages, Ela B'Kaifim, rather than those who are the deniers. And that is, let me go ahead and show you those that you have given so much good to them, they cover book and they deny you. In other words, trying to say that, come, I want to show you our people, the Jewish people, that they struggle and they're still learning. And here are those that, Nalina Bikfarim, those who are the kafirim, and look how much you gave them, that they're able to go to sleep easily at night, and yet they deny you. Nashkim Lakram, let us get up into the vineyards. That's a reference to the shuls and bat midrashas, as it says there was Karim B'Yavna, that a kramim is the wine where it's made in the Beis Medrash. That nira, that let me show you the bat midrashas, how hard that the Jewish people learned Torah. Nira and Parcha Gevin, it said in the pasuk, let's see if the grapevine has sprouted. Ilu Bali Mikra, that's a reference to the people that learned Chumash Pitach HaSmadar. Let's see if the grape blossom has opened. Ilu Bali Mishnah, these are the people that learn Mishnah, and that is because Smadar, that is a greater level than Perach, that which has just sprouted, and therefore just like Mishnayas are more explicit than the Chumashim, therefore Smadar is a reference to Mishnah, which is greater than what's talking about by Parcha, that's just a Perach, that's just a leaf, that's a reference to the Chumash. And then it goes to the next level, Heinetzah Remainim, to the pomegranates that have bloomed, Ilu Bali Gemara, that's a reference to those who learn Gemara that have grown to their full maturity, and that is the nets is already around, totally around it, which the nets is a type of a shomer, it's a type of a shell that grows around the nuts. That's a reference to the Netzu, that even that is there, that's totally complete. Sham Etenes Dodilach, there I will give my love to you. That is Erecha Kavoy Devagoyl, I will show you my honor and my greatness. Shevach Bana Benoise, the praise of my sons and my daughters. That was what Klal Yisrael was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what we have, look what they have, look how much we learned your Torah and work hard for you. And that is what Klal Yisrael was trying to give the message to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara returns to what we mentioned before about Shlomo HaMelech being Masakin Erevin and Tilsu Dayim. Some are of Nuna. Ma'adik said, what is this pasuk in Malachim Aleph that says, Vayidaber Shleishes Alofim Mashal, that Shlomo HaMelech spoke 3,000 parables, Vayishirei Chamisha Alof, and his song was 1,005. So the Gemara says, Malamet Shama Shlomo called Dava V'Davish Al Torah. This comes to teach you that regarding every single idea in Torah, Shlomo HaMelech said, Shleishes Alofim Mashal, 3,000 parables, which means that he gave 3,000 reasons and time him to understand and to taste the words of Torah in 3,000 different ways. And I'll call Dava Shal Sefer regarding every single rabbinic institution, he gave Chamisha Ve'elav time 1,005 different reasons. So now regarding Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara continues again with Rava lecturing, Darish Rava, Ma'indich Siv, what does this mean in the Pasuk Kehelis? That the Yosef Shahoyu Kehelis Chacham, more than that Kehelis was a wise man, but Oid Limadasam, he also taught the nation wisdom. Ve'izin, and he listened, Ve'chikir, and he sought out. Tikin Mishalom Harbi, he went and he instituted many, many parables. So the Gemara explains, what does this mean? Limadasam, that he taught the nation wisdom. How did he do that? What does that mean? The Agmarei Bisimoni time, that he taught them with symbols of the trap of the cantillations, that he went and made a Mesairah and Simonim between the words of the Pasuk and also regarding the Girsais of Mishnayis, he gave it over in that way. And V'asbra B'maydi Demelan, he explained it to them, and what was similar to that, in other words, a corollary that you could understand it, that's how he taught wisdom to the nation. And then it says, the Izin Mechiker, that he went and he listened and he sought out, Tikin Mishalom Harbi, he instituted many parables. So, Umma Ula Umar Belaza, what it means to say is that, B'tchilo Haysa Torah Dimli Kafifa Shein Laznaim, originally the Torah was like a basket that had no handle, but it was very hard to hold on to it. Until Shlomo HaMelech came and he made ears for it, he made handles for it. That's what it means, Izin Vechiker, that he was masakened by making these aznayim, these handles for the Torah, by creating all these Isri Drabonim. That is, he masakened Ervin and until Sidayim, and he made Agzera on the Shnias Larais, which are secondary levels of Arayas, as the Gemara in Yevamos Nafchaf Alva explains. And through that, that's how the Jewish people were able to hold on to the mitzvahs, because they were distanced from Averis, just like it makes it easier to hold on to a vessel if it has a handle than if it doesn't have a handle. So too, by making the people distance from the Averis, it made it much easier to hold on to the mitzvahs, which is what he did by making these institutions of Tezdaim and the Rivei Chatzeres and the Shnias Larayis. That's what he did with Izein Vechikr, that he made his Naim Lutayr. So I'm going to quote the pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, Kibbutzaisim Taltalim, that the locks, Kibbutzaisim, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are very wavy. So Amar Chizda Amar Ukva, what this teaches about, obviously we're not talking about Hashem because he doesn't have a body, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Melamed sheyesh lidrash kol koitz v'koitz, that's kibbutzaisav, that it's a plural of koitz, that we should lecture and interpret in every point of the letters of the Torah. Tilei tilim shel halachas, that's taltalim, that's a plural of tilei, mounds and mounds of halachas. And that is, as we find other places in Shas, where Rabbi Kiva was found, that he was lecturing on every single point, on the Targum and the crowns of the words in the Sefer Torah, so many halachas, that's kibbutzaisav of taltalim, that on every point is mounds and mounds of halachas. The pasuk there concludes and says, shechayris ka'irib, dark as a raven. And that is what it means to say is, although the literal translation is obviously in reference to the mashal, that locks were wavy and they were dark like raven, very black here, but the interpretation, the way we're saying it, is b'miata moitzin. With who do you find that you could expound all these deep secrets that are hidden in the Torah? So the Gemara gives three interpretations, what it means that as dark as a raven. First one is b'mi, and we continue on to Tepach of Bezim and Aleph, shemashkimu ma'ar v'aleim le'bezim edrish, that gets up early and goes to sleep late, is staying in the Bezim edrish, and that is the word shechayros, black, is related to the word shachris, early in the morning, and ka'ayrev, like a raven, is related to the word arvis, early in the morning, late at night, he's in the Beis Medrash the whole time. Second interpretation is, the Rabbah Amar, b'mishamashche ponav alein ka'arev, regarding someone that darkens his face like a raven that's black, this person, because he neglects himself, he negates his physical body to learn the words of Torah, that's the type of person that you find the secrets of Torah by. And the third interpretation is, Rabbah Amar, b'mishamesem atzmeh zori al ponav al b'nei b'isai, it's in reference to somebody that makes himself cruel on his sons and daughters and his whole family, ka'arev, like a raven. And that is, a raven is very cruel regarding its children, as the pasuk in Tehillim in Parakof Mem Zayin says, "Livnei Oyev Asher Yikro," that to be the sons of the raven that call out, that the raven, the father, does not go ahead and feed the children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares them that these flies fall right into their mouths, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them, even though the father neglects them, and therefore someone who gives himself over for the words of Torah and has complete betachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although the children are crying, the wife is crying, what's going on, we have nothing to go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually goes in and gives it right into their mouths, even though the father is not doing anything, and he's going and neglecting them like an oyer. As the Gemara brings an incident, Ki hodir av ad bar masna, have a ka'ozal bei rav, he's on his way to yeshiva. Amalei de Bezer, his wife saying, what do you mean, yonukid didach ma'avlo, what am I going to do with your children? You're leaving them, there's no food, there's nothing, what do you mean, how are you going off to yeshiva? Amalei said to her, mishlima kumar ba'agma, are there no more wild vegetables in the marshes, out in the swamps? And basically, you could go ahead, there's food to go find out there in the wild. Or another interpretation of kurmi is a soft reed that when you take off, there's a kernel that's inside of it, and you could take out that kernel, and you could grind it, and you could make bread out of it. Basically, what he was saying was, what I mean, there's still food out there in the world, so although there's nothing in the cupboard, there's nothing here that I'm giving you, there's still food that's a passable HaKadosh Baruch Hu who could support us. Those are the three interpretations for the people that you could find the secrets of Torah to, that they're shachar ka'ayrev, either that they stay up, shachar and arvis in the base medrash, or that they blacken their face like a raven, or that they're cruel on their children, like an ayrev, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and gives it directly to them, in spite of the fact that the father is in base medrash all day learning Torah.